bright every time it gets me. All right, well, happy Sunday. It's good to see all of your shining faces on this glorious Sunday morning. We're still in Chase the Wind. We've only got a few weeks left. We have a few weeks that we'll be taking off for Easter and Mother's Day, but really we're getting close to the end of the book. So if you've been here the whole time, you've seen the entire progression. We're almost there. Hit on those a couple announcements again. Orange Leaf tomorrow night. Make sure you come out and hang out with us. It's going to be a great way to meet people, to have fun, have some frozen yogurt, and help yourself or someone else go to camp. If you have a desire to go to camp, you should come because every dollar that's raised goes to you. $1 off every purchase, not every dollar. That would be awesome if we got every purchase. But anyways, Pastor Justin and myself will be at Orange Leaf. It's the one on Republic Road from 6 to 8. So if you want to come hang out with us, that's the time we will be there hanging out. Come hang out, have some frozen yogurt. First Saturday, who here has seen the Mighty Ducks? All right. Who here hasn't seen it? Oh, man. All of you with your hands up right now need to be there. It's a great movie, really funny. So that's what we're going to be watching for First Saturday. Again, that's March 2nd. It's going to be right in here, 6 to 8 p.m. We'll put it up on the big screen. Bring your favorite snack. We'll have the snack bar open. You'll want to bring some change in case you want to buy a soda or something. But bring your favorite snack. We'll have free popcorn for everyone. So we're just going to hang out, have some fun together, watch the Mighty Ducks. It's going to be a good time. Sound good? All right, today we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 10 through 17. So if you want to reach under your chair, grab the Bible, pen, and handout, and we'll get rolling. Flip over to page 474. All right, hold that spot. We're going to give you a little recap of, what's up, man? Give you a little recap of Ecclesiastes, if you have been or haven't been with us. Written by Solomon, he's at the end of his life. He's writing basically his memoirs on life. He's had a lot of fame, a lot of popularity, a lot of power, a lot of wealth. He got it really fast because he was born a prince. But he also lived a very wicked life for a season of his life, and then he came back to the Lord. And so at this point, he's done a lot of bad things, but he's writing how the Lord's brought him back and the things that he's learned. So throughout Ecclesiastes, he takes a look at all of the sides of life, the really good, happy times, and then the times that just really suck. And he looks at it all, and he writes about it all. I'm just going to move this way. Hopefully it doesn't. Nope. All right. But as we go through Ecclesiastes, there are portions that sound really down and depressing and sad, but the book of Ecclesiastes was actually written so that we could live happy, full lives and not make the same mistakes that Solomon made. So here's some reasons why you should listen to Solomon. First, people's responses will influence your behavior. How you respond to this and how people live their lives, that's going to influence your behavior. So knowing how to make the right decisions in different situations is a positive thing. Most of your current behaviors are a reflection of someone's response. And we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago, that you may not be responsible, but you can influence. So there are other people in your life that may be responsible, may be making the decisions, but you can still influence the situations that you're in. And then you wonder why people do what they do. This is the reason why we should listen to Solomon. It tells us why people make some of the good decisions that they make, and they go well for them. And why people make some really dumb decisions sometimes. All this is covered. And then you've noticed that evil continues to exist in the world. Bad things still happen to good people. Good things still happen to bad people. Bad thing just happens in general. All of this is covered within Ecclesiastes and reasons why you should listen to Solomon. There's a verse that we come back to every week, and it's this, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so we say that because Ecclesiastes, no matter where you are on the spectrum of believing in Jesus or believing in the Bible, Ecclesiastes applies to everyone and every walk of life. So no matter if this is your first time in church or your 1,000th time in church, the things that we're going to be talking about apply to you. Good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people, and all of the things in between that we're going to be covering, you'll see at one point in time in life, whether you've already seen it or you have seen people that have walked through it, you'll find this out. And so it's all profitable for teaching. We can all learn from something from it. It's for reproof, meaning that while it may hurt sometimes, we can still learn from those things that kind of hurt. And for righteousness, for bringing us closer to Jesus. So we'll go back to the passage, Ecclesiastes 8, 10 through 17. Let's read through it. And wherever is it? There it is. Then I saw the wicked buried. They used to go in and out, and the holy place were praised in the city where they had done such things. This also is vanity, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily. The heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God, because they fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, neither will he prolong his days like a shadow, because he does not fear God. There is a vanity that takes place on earth, and there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. And there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity, and I commend joy, for man has no good thing under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful. For this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun. Then I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither day nor night do one's eyes see sleep. Then I saw all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. However much man may toil in seeking, he will not find it. Even though a wise man claims to know it, he cannot find it out. So we'll go through and we'll break all that apart today and kind of give it some application to you in 2013. This was written 3,000 years ago. So where you are and how this language goes to you, we speak a little differently than Solomon did back then, so we'll break it apart for you. But the bottom line, if you get one thing, walk out with one thing, it's on the bottom of your handout, write it in there. The bottom line that we have for you today is, what's rewarded gets repeated. What's rewarded gets repeated. What's rewarded gets repeated. And so you've probably seen this in life. Danae and I see this right now with our puppy, a Beast. We have a little toy Yorkie. And we find out every day what's rewarded gets repeated. Reward and punishment. If he does something good and doesn't pee on the carpet, we give him a treat. If he does something bad, we give him a little spanking. And then he doesn't get a treat. And so the more we do that, if he does a trick, we're training him to do some tricks. If he does the trick the first time, we give him a treat. And he's more apt to do that again. So you can see this even with your parents. If you did your chores, more than likely you got an allowance. If you obeyed, then you didn't get in trouble and you got to go out with your friends. If you did what they asked, good things happen. If you disobeyed, if you did bad things, then they would have a punishment so that you don't repeat that. There are many times I got spankings growing up. My father believed in spankings and I got plenty of them. And that was an example of what's rewarded gets repeated. When I did good things, spankings were not found in my life. But I did plenty of ornery things growing up. So there are plenty of spankings that were found where my father said, I don't want that repeated. And so I took the punishment. And so you'll see that time and time again throughout your life, what's rewarded gets repeated. So if you do good on a test, you get a good grade, you want to do that again because your teacher's like, good job. Your parents are like, good job. Your friends are like, good job. You want to do that again because it feels good. So there's this scientist. Whoa, man, this is crazy. I just have to stand right here. It's going. I'll try not to move. Stay. Good, Alan. All right. His name was Ivan Pavlov. And he had this thing. It was called Pavlov's dog. Has anyone heard of it? A few of you? All right. We'll break it apart for you. He was this Russian physiologist, and he did this test on his dog, kind of like what we're doing with ours, where his dog would do something, and he'd give him a treat, and he'd ring the bell. And then he'd do it again. Later, he'd give him a treat, and then ring the bell. And eventually the dog got to where the dog would ring the bell knowing that he'd get a treat. So he trained him, what's rewarded gets repeated. And so the dog eventually picked it up. And so he'd just ring the bell on his own. Now, has anyone watched The Office regularly? Do you remember the episode where Jim had his computer dinging and he'd give Dwight the mint? And Dwight takes the mint and keeps doing it for a few days. Eventually he dings it and doesn't give him a mint, and Dwight just sticks his hand out. That's an example of Pavlov's dog, because he just kept getting rewarded for the bell going off. And eventually there was no mint, but he was still sticking his hand out there. And so this is how a good example from science, even what you're going to learn in school, what's rewarded gets repeated. So Solomon saw this. He saw that what's rewarded gets repeated, but he had a bit of an issue with it. Because not only did good moral things get rewarded sometimes, but also people who did bad things were getting rewarded for the bad things that they were doing, so they were repeating them. Now, if you're honest with yourself, there's probably been times in your life where you've done something, haven't got caught, and you ended up with a good outcome, even if it was a bad thing, so you wanted to do it again because you didn't get in trouble. Whether that's cheating on a test, you got a better score than what you deserved, you didn't get caught, so it's a whole lot easier to do it the next time because you got rewarded. You got that A. It kind of made you happy. You were real nervous while you were cheating. You had this tightness in your chest, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get caught. And then you didn't. So it's a lot easier the next time. I'll just do it again because I like how it feels to get the A. And so this is what Solomon's looking at, is that, yes, it's great when good things happen and you get rewarded, but it really kind of stinks when people do bad stuff and they get rewarded for it. So we're going to go back to verse 10 and read through there. Then I saw the wicked buried. They used to go in and out of the holy place and were praised in the city where they had done such things. This also is vanity, because a sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily. The heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God, because they fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, neither will he prolong his days like a shadow, because he does not fear God. And so the first blank we have for you there is no consequence, no change. No consequence, no change. No consequence, no change. So when Solomon's writing this, he's seeing wickedness, bad things, is rampant. It's all over the place, and it's going unchecked. There's people doing bad things all the time, and they're not getting in trouble for it. And so we see this today. You can flip through the news, and there's people who are doing bad things and doing things that are against Jesus and against what God says for us to do. But society is lifting them up and saying, hey, you're awesome for doing this evil thing. This thing that we learn in the Bible is wrong. They're getting congratulated for. And so sometimes, whether it's on that grand scale of seeing it on TV, or whether it's in maybe your parents' workplace, they see people that are, you know, maybe doing shady business deals, but they still get the raise. Bad things are still going on, but they still get rewarded for it. And so the most common way you'll hear this put, probably in your age group, is if it feels good, do it. Feels good, do it. So you'll hear this in a variety of ways and things that as you get older and even now. If it feels good, as long as it feels good to you and it's not hurting anyone else, then just do it. If it feels good, do it. Why put yourself in restraints of doing this? Because it feels good to you. It may not be right, but it feels good to you. It may not be a good thing, but it feels good to you, so just do it. It feels good to go have sex before you're married. It doesn't hurt anyone else, so just do it. There's part of doing drugs that feels good for a moment. So just do it. It may tear your body apart, but in the moment, it feels good, so just do it. You're not hurting anyone else. And so society will tell us again and again, take care of yourself. You're the only one that matters. If it feels good to you, just do it. And so not only is this not true, because all of those things that we just said not only have negative effects on you physically and spiritually, and also affect other people, the way we look at this is not just, if it feels good to me, we should do it. But Jesus tells us that no matter what we walk through, no matter if it feels good in the moment, we're still to go by the principles that he sets forth. That eventually there will be a reward. That we will get rewarded for the things that we repeatedly do good. That in the end, Jesus will reward us for those things. And so, when those things come up, when those things, hey, just do it. It feels good, just do it. We know that while right now it may feel good, we're going to face the consequence later. And if we make a good decision now, while we may not see the immediate reward, it's eventually going to come around and we'll see that reward. So we'll move on to verse 14 and 15. There is a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked, and there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity, and I commend joy,